Welcome to First Reading, the Old Testament Lectionary Podcast for preachers, teachers, and curious readers of the Hebrew Bible everywhere. I'm Rosie Candlepole. I teach Hebrew Bible at Wake Forest University.
And I'm Tim McNinch. I also teach Hebrew Bible, but at Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis. We're coming to you today for the second Sunday after Christmas, January 5th, the first Sunday of the new year. And the first reading for the week is from the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 31, verses 7 through 14. Our friends Rachel and Paul are off this week, so it's just two of us again.
Woo!
Yay!
And Rosie, you're up for giving us some insights into this passage. So as you've looked at it, what'd you find for us?
Yeah, so one of the first things to kind of highlight is something we often say with the lectionary, right? We've got another cut and paste job, right? So you might have noticed even in Tim's intro there that you're looking at 7 through 14 immediately tells you that we've cut off verses 1 through 6, and then also the second portion of the poem that we're going to talk about today. But it might just behoove our listeners to remind us of Jeremiah, our prophet, and give a little bit of historical context before we dive into where we are in Jeremiah chapter 31.
Yeah, go for it. Tell us a little bit about Jerry.
Our weeping prophet, right? So let me just kind of give you the quick 5-second maybe introduction here of who we're listening to, right? So Jeremiah chapter 31 presents this image of restoration, of exiles returning home. And it starts off with the sound of a celebration, a party that's beginning. But the chapter itself, like I said, it cuts off a second portion. Verses 15 to 26 include an image of Rachel weeping for her children, an image from the Hebrew Bible, and a recognition of mourning in the midst of the celebration and restoration images that Jeremiah 31 focuses on. So historical context, right? So why do I call Jeremiah the weeping prophet? One reason is that he's kind of known for his personal life. He's one of the few prophets that we hear from in the kind of I singular, where we get some little background of him, which includes the fact that he is unmarried and without children. Kind of an interesting thing as we think about Jeremiah 31 and its image of family celebration. Jeremiah the prophet himself was known for being unmarried and not having children of his own. And he stands in some way as a symbol for the nation, the end of life in the land. So he's preaching in the wake of three Babylonian invasions in the 6th century BC. If you've listened to us before, you will often hear us referencing the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC. And the destruction, the collapse that that represented for the society of Israel. So political and military systems have collapsed, destruction of the city walls, temple destroyed, the shattering of structures of religion, the temple, social, domestic, and economic life have just been devastated in this wake. And here's Jeremiah, who is preaching into this context. Literarily, just to, you know, kind of bring us into the context here, we're in Jeremiah 31, which tells you we're somewhere in the middle of this book. Right. And we're falling roughly around the start of the second half of the book. So after about 25 chapters of why the nation has fallen to Babylon in 586, chapters 26 to 52 then address how the nation might be able to survive after. So now we're looking at exile and post-exile as we look at Jeremiah chapter 31. And this is why we begin, the weeping prophet begins to talk about hope. And we can hear the noises of a celebration, right? So the verses that we don't have in our reading begin with, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, right? So God kind of taking on this voice of I, and that this will be the God of all the families of Israel. Now, if we remember at the fall of Jerusalem, what we're left with is a remnant already of only maybe two tribes of Judah and Benjamin here in the south. But when we are talking about all the families of Israel, there is a moment here of a larger restoration. You know, we've lost already the northern tribes that have in some way been assimilated to the point where we really can't recognize them as what we see maybe with Judah and Benjamin. So they are a kind of a distant past of what the family of Israel might have looked like at its peak. And so this very beginning of verse one acknowledges the losses of the 8th century, the losses of the 6th century in some sense. Then it goes on to say these verses that we've heard maybe if we've grown up in the church, I have loved you with an everlasting love. So God seems to remember the fact that this love, this passionate embrace, ahav, right, in the Hebrew, is an everlasting one. And that's important as we think about the time and the frame that Jeremiah is addressing here. Mm-hmm. Then we hear the surprising sound of music and of dancing and celebration in verse 4. Virgin Israel, the young woman, a woman before the time of her devastation, is now adorned. And in the Hebrew, what we hear is the address of God in the second person feminine singular. So, you know, the you that we're hearing there is to Virgin Israel. And to this young woman before her losses, now adorned and now maybe beginning again to walk a path home. And so I kind of want to draw our attention to the images here of Jeremiah chapter 31, because they are so beautiful as we get to verse 7, right? So the beginning of our reading takes us right into, for thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise and say, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. Now, that's what the lectionary reads in our NRSV translation. But as I was looking at the Hebrew, I was struck by how beautiful this reads, right? I mean, there's different ways to look at it, but I don't know, Tim, if you might also take a look at this, but yeah. Shout for Jacob's joy and sing as the first of the peoples, right? So goyim, not just the nations, right? But something about the beginning here. And then we get these imperatives of make them hear that hallel there, hallelujah, and say, deliver Adonai, your people, the survivors, the remnant of Israel, right? And so to me, as I'm kind of looking at the Hebrew, I already hear the acknowledgement of loss. This remnant of Israel is what's being, you know, kind of called out to here. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of the make them hear that hallelujah is the word deliver, O God. Yeah. And so, you know, as we're listening to this refrain, this I hear the working through of loss. The kind of recognition that this is a moment, yes, that we're being asked to celebrate, but not to forget the losses that precede this. So I appreciate that about the voice of Jeremiah, who combines both of these things very well. But if you're only looking at verses 7 through 14, you might not hear that right away.
I think you're hitting on something that seems pretty important, that there was not a party going on that somebody was sort of capturing and putting into this poetry. This is a future looking glimpse. So it's a poem that's spoken into a time of distress with a vision of restoration. And just imagine celebrating. And so we get that flavor of, you know, a party going on, but the call that goes out, the praise, the shout of praise is save us.
Yeah, right. And that shout of praise, I hear that, right? That it's the word shout is there, right? So, and even though our translation is fronting this with sing, the first word is shout.
Yeah.
And Rami. that is mixed, you know, that has... We hear shout in times of war, right? So the surprise there is, you know, shout with gladness. I think you're very right to say this is a look forward, not a video camera, right? Not something capturing the moment, but an invitation by the prophet to say, I know what you are suffering now, but imagine. And those first verses 1 through 6, take up your tambourine, go forth in the dance of the merrymakers, even the address to a female subject, you, is taking us back to Miriam and the women at the Exodus, right? Mm-hmm. So Jeremiah is say, remember that too, right? Remember that moment as we now maybe cast forward to what might be coming for us.
Yeah. So a look forward and a look back.
Right. And the stream of merrymakers kind of going forward, right? So that also here, as we move into verse 8, I'm going to bring them from the land of the north, gather them to the farthest parts of the earth. among them, and the text, the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor. Now, I think it's important to remind ourselves that, you know, of disability kind of here that's being referenced, the blind and the lame, to be careful with that language, which we're just acknowledging these ancient contexts. But I think what the writer is trying to say is these are the people that are often left behind in a journey. Those who have difficulty seeing, those who have difficulty walking, those who are with child, and those who are in labor are the ones that you have to leave behind. They are the most vulnerable. They are the least able to walk a long journey. And yet here, Jeremiah is referencing the marginalized, the weak, those who are often abandoned and overlooked in society. They are highlighted among the stream of merrymakers, right, with their tambourines. And then even further, right, with weeping they shall come, with prayers I will lead them back, right? I will let them walk by brooks of water. And as I was reading that in the Hebrew, it reminded me of the refrain of Psalm 23. It said, lead me beside still waters, right? And in that passage as well, the shadow of death is what's, you know, kind of coming in that passage, right? So to me, I hear these sounds of the water and the straight path in which they will not stumble. So Psalm 23, lead me in the paths of righteousness, right? Again, we're hearing this kind of the path that they're walking on. Water in the wilderness, right? That idea that God will refresh them, that there will be rivers running in this land is, you know, again, kind of this idea of restoration, but also the reminder that we're walking and maybe weeping in our walking, praying as we walk, right? And that God will make them walk, you know, will help them walk, right? So anyway, those were some of my thoughts as I kind of read this and was struck by the way the Hebrew kind of, I think, weaves this better than our English translation, the kind of oscillation between the hope that we are looking forward to and the recognition that we are living in a present of loss. And that can be a hard thing to work through. And yet the prophet is trying to bring us to that moment.
That sounds really relevant to where maybe we're at now.
Right.
Did you have some thoughts about how preachers might take that glimpse at this passage and turn it into a sermon that would meet the moment where we're at now?
Right. I think this is like, it's a valuable thing to remember where we are on the calendar, right? So we're in our first Sunday of the new year. We're coming out of the Christmas season, but we're also at this kind of moment where we're looking backwards on some ways on a year of loss for some of us, a year of difficulty, a lot of years of anxiety and stress, 2024, and looking at 2025 with uncertainty, right? So January 5th is right before a new administration takes office here in the United States. Some people will be celebrating and others will be looking at with trepidation and fear. And here we are with this passage, right? So Jeremiah chapter 31, both may be acknowledging that we have a, you know, mixed group of merrymakers on this new year Sunday. But I think, if preachers are maybe thinking about, you know, kind of walking into this period together as a congregation, holding that uncertainty with some honesty and recognizing that many of us are not in the same place, but we're called to walk this path together. So there might be something as we enter into 2025 and acknowledging that for preachers. But also, I want to say something about the gospel passage for this week, right? Chapter 1 of John, that is also a cut and paste job from the lectionary. The invitation is to read verses 10 through 18. And the option is there to read the beginning, verses 1 through 9. But what I see in the passage here, verses 10 through 18, is kind of a recognition of our status as children of God, right? So verses 10 through 18 really focus on that idea. And our Ephesians passage, the letter this week, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, also emphasizes this idea that we are adopted together as children through Christ, that we have this inheritance in Jesus, right? And one thing I might invite is the idea to remind ourselves that we are, again, all children of God. And Jeremiah's beginning that God is saying, I am your father. I am a father to you, and a recognition that we are all children of God. It might be just a reminder that we're all beginning this year, you know, together as children of God.
Yeah.
And that we might kind of remind ourselves of our shared kinship in that, whether we're in the room together worshiping on that Sunday or outside, that reminder that all of these readings are repeating that refrain of our common inheritance in God and our common kinship in this Creator. It might be a useful thing for preachers to kind of remind ourselves as we try to build again connections to one another. We're going to need each other in this new year. And I know for myself, like, I might really welcome just a reminder of that idea once again, that we kind of embrace that together.
For sure. Jeremiah didn't have the Gregorian calendar in mind, right? But it is it's an interesting coincidence, you know, right, that this text comes to us at the beginning of January. And isn't January named after the Roman god Janus? Is that
there? You go,
it?
Right? So, Tim, what is Janus?
I have very limited knowledge of this, but I think Janus was a deity who had two faces: one looked
That's
back,
right,
one looked forward. So, there's a kind of sense of beginning a new season with a look back and a look forward, and this text kind of captures that.
Yeah, I hope it does for preachers. Yeah, that's certainly what I saw here at this moment in the liturgical and Gregorian year. and also like in the way that Jeremiah frames this moment.
Well, I think you've given us a lot to work with there, Rosie. Maybe we'll wrap up the pod for today.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, friends, thank you for tuning in and for checking out what we're doing here at First Reading. If you are looking for some resources for other texts in the lectionary, you can take a look at our website, firstreadingpodcast.com, where we have a backlog of, 300 some episodes now.
That's right. On
almost everything
in
the Revised Common Lectionary. So, yep, we're continuing to add to those. There's other good stuff on the website there too, including some merch and ways to contribute to the podcast if you'd like to help keep us sustainable in this way. If you'd ever like to give us some feedback, we'd love to hear from our listeners and watchers. You can drop us a line at firstreadingpodcast@gmail.com, or you can look for our next episode, which will come out next week. Until then, I'm Tim McNinch.
And I'm Rosie Candethal. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.